You can turn to Luke chapter 18. While you're turning there, I'm going to go ahead and pray. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you. I thank you this morning for the opportunity that we have to come before you with praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we have breath, and because we have breath, we should give you praise. Lord Jesus, we have your word in front of us, and we're grateful for that. We ask that you would help us, give us wisdom to understand. I pray that your spirit would guide us. I pray that your spirit would freely move among us and be willing to hit us wherever you want to hit us, Lord. Do whatever you want to do with us, Lord. We pray that your spirit would be free. Give me ease and freedom to speak, Lord, and to teach whatever it is that you've given me to speak, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. We'll be reading in verses 9 and until to 14. And I just want us to think today about the danger of misjudging our own spiritual condition before God. We can actually be misjudging our own spiritual condition before God. You know, it's possible for somebody to think that they know the spiritual condition of everybody around them and be completely wrong about their own spiritual condition before God. You can look around and you can maybe think, oh, I know that person. I know their sin. I know how they are. You might read something on the news and you might think, oh yeah, they can't be right with God. I know their condition. And yet, you might not even be realizing that you're not in a good condition before God. And you might not even know it. Amen. That's one of the most dangerous places you can be, spiritually speaking, is that you need mercy from God and yet you don't realize that you need mercy. That you need the mercy of God. So let's read here in Luke chapter 18, verse 9. It says, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." It says, "Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Boy, that's a good parable, I think. Jesus says he spoke this parable to a certain group of people. He knew who he was talking to. He knew who he was targeting. He was saying, hey, there's a specific group here that needs to hear this. They are they which are trusting in themselves that they're righteous. And they're despising others. And so he gives this parable. You know, I want to talk about this. I want to start off with talking about the danger of self-righteousness. The danger of self-righteousness. Listen, this is about thinking too highly of your goodness. You're thinking too highly of the good things that you do. You're thinking too highly of yourself. You're thinking too much about the goodness that you have. It says that they trusted in themselves that they are righteous. Trusting in yourselves that you're righteous. Now look at the things he talks about. I mean, isn't it good not to be of these things? It's good not to be an extortioner, right? I mean, it's good not to be an adulterer. It's good not to be these things. It's good not to be like that. How about giving? He says, I fast twice a week. There's nothing bad about that, is there? Oh, we probably would do better if we fasted twice a week. There was nothing bad in what he was doing. It wasn't so much that the things that he was doing were wrong in and of themselves. In fact, he says, I tithe of all that I possess. Everything I get, I tithe. The problem was not so much the works that he was doing and how he was acting. The problem was the way he was thinking about what he was doing. He was looking at the things that he was doing and he was exalting himself. He was lifting himself up because of these works that he was doing to a point where he trusted in himself for his righteousness. That was the issue. Look at all his trust and all his evidence and everything he's seeing is all about himself. All about himself. Now, he might have said the words, I thank thee that I'm not. Right? He might have said those words, but he didn't really thank God. He wasn't really depending on God. Jesus says it was those that were trusting in themselves. And be careful. We can say a lot of words. And again, you should be careful about all the praising God with your lips and a manifestation with your lips of giving honor to God, but not truly from the heart being right with God. That is a danger. Everything he showed was all about himself, and he was measuring himself. And you know the interesting thing is, he was measuring himself by comparison. From the get-go, he's comparing himself. He's measuring how good he is. He's measuring his righteousness by comparing himself to other people. He says, oh, I'm not as other men are. You know, that's the wrong way to measure your righteousness.
Right.
You should not be measuring your righteousness, comparing yourself to all the other people. Oh, I'm pretty good because I'm not like that guy over there. And you know, the thing about it is you can always find somebody that's worse than you. At least in one area. I mean, come on. You can find somebody that will make you look pretty good. You can look around and say, oh, I'm not as bad of a father as that guy. I can tell. Oh, I'm not as bad as a husband as that one over there. You can always find somebody to compare yourself and get to this point where you lift yourself up thinking you're righteous because you're comparing yourself to somebody else. And that means you need somebody that's beneath you. You're looking for somebody that's worse. You're looking for somebody that's not as good as you. And this was one of his mistakes, is that he was turning another person's sin into the evidence of his own righteousness. So he was using how wicked that guy looks to make himself think that he was more righteous. That is a complete mistake. That is not the right way to do things. It's like those, you've seen those mud races, right? Where they have mud races and they make you crawl under things and they make you go and it's all mud and it's all muddy. And I always think those are very, very curious how people do those. I kind of want to do it too. That would be fun. But, imagine if at the end of that race, the winner had to be the one that had not a single drop of mud on him. You'd say impossible. Now imagine at the end of the race, everybody's laughing at each other because they're thinking, there's a bunch of people and they're laughing at this guy because he's got mud all over his face. He's got mud up in his eyes and in his nose. This guy's covered in mud. And they're laughing at him. And yet they're not realizing that they're losers too, because they've got mud all over themselves. Who cares that he has mud all the way up to his neck? You've got mud. You've got mud all the way up to your ankles. You're worried really about that you think you're so much better because you've got less mud on you than the other guy? No, you're not realizing the truth about your righteousness. It's that you've got mud on you. And so no matter how much mud you've got, you are a loser.
Amen.
You're comparing yourself to somebody else that you think they're full of sin. I mean, their sin is horrible. Their sin is vile. Their sin is disgusting, outrageous. And you're feeling pretty good about yourself. But that's not who you should be comparing yourself to. You should be comparing yourself to God. And when you're before God, look, he did make it through the race without a drop of mud on it.
Amen.
And you realize, wow, it was impossible for men, yeah. but it wasn't possible for God. Jesus lived a life without sin.
Amen.
And so if you're going to compare yourself to find out how righteous you are, you need to compare yourself to Jesus.
Amen.
And you are not righteous. That's the conclusion. You're not righteous. But while you're comparing yourself to others, you might be able to fall into this error where you're thinking, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty righteous, because you're comparing yourself with other people, and especially other people that aren't as good as you in your opinion. Now, this thought, this error, this danger of being self-righteous doesn't require you to think that you're perfect. I know sometimes we think, well, I don't think I'm perfect. I know I have sin. And so you think you're not self-righteous. But all it has to do is make you think that you're good enough. When you talk to somebody, and maybe you think this way too, you might start thinking, well, you know, I know I'm a sinner, but I'm not as bad as another person. This Pharisee, I'm sure he probably knew that he had sin in his life. But the problem was he wasn't thinking about his sin. He was thinking about somebody else's sin. And he was thinking that he was okay. He was good enough. And a lot of times we fall into that mistake where we think, oh, we're okay, because we're not as bad as somebody else. We're not that bad. We haven't committed this sin. We haven't committed that sin. And so we feel pretty good about ourselves. You see, it's not, self-righteousness isn't just the thought that you think you're as good as God, as you're perfect. No, all it has to do is make you think that you don't need the mercy of God, because you're fine, you're okay, you're good enough. If you don't desperately see your need for mercy, If you don't realize how desperate you are for the need to, for God to give you mercy, then you might fall into this category of self-righteous. If you just think, well, I think I'm good enough, I'm not as bad as somebody else, then you might fall into that category of being self-righteous. This man stood and prayed with himself. He was lifting himself up as righteous, and it was completely wrong. He was completely wrong. He was not right before God, but he was trusting in himself. He was trusting in himself, and he was lifting himself up, thinking too highly of his goodness. And that's a danger. That's a danger, and you need to think about that. Are you maybe self-righteous? Do you trust in yourself? And by that, you end up despising others. The other one I was thinking about is that this danger of self-righteousness and this danger that you can fall into here isn't just by thinking you're self-righteous, but there's also a danger here of presuming on mercy. You're presuming on mercy, which is thinking too lightly of your sin. One of them, you can think too highly of your goodness, but the other extreme is you're taking your sin too lightly. You're just lightly taking your sin and you're presuming on mercy. You're taking advantage of mercy because you think God is going to just give it to you. And we need to beware of that thought also. You know, when you're thinking about this Pharisee, and probably when we were reading about this Pharisee, some of us might have been thinking, boy, I thank God I'm not a Pharisee. And you're doing exactly the same thing the Pharisee's doing. The Pharisee's despising, he's looking down at the sinners, but then the sinners are looking around and they're thinking, oh yeah, I'm in the sinner club. I don't look down at sinners. I'm so glad I'm not like that self-righteous guy. It's like, well, what is going on? It's like you're proud about being humble.
Yeah.
It's that doesn't work. You don't be proud about being humble. Stop thinking that you're so much better because you're a sinner and you associate with sinners, and then you just take advantage of that. You know, just because you know you're a sinner doesn't automatically mean you're humble.
Yeah.
It doesn't automatically. Now, Christ talks about humility, and He gives like a key for you to know how to come to God. And the key is humility. He says, if you humble yourselves, God will exalt you. But if you exalt yourself, He is going to humble you. The key is humility. But don't think that just because you're clearly a sinner, you're going to automatically be humble. Because you can still be presumptuous even in your sin. Even a clear sinner can be presumptuous. And you know, just saying, I am a sinner, can become an excuse instead of a confession. Oh, I'm a sinner. We get to that point, right? We can get there very fairly easy. Yeah, we're not the ones that are sitting around with our all white clothes and thinking, man, I am so good. No, but we might be the ones that are in a mess. And then just using an excuse and saying, well, we're all the same. We're all sinners. We all do it. So, I mean, it's okay, right? We're rationalizing our sin. So you say you don't want to be a Pharisee, so you just join the party of the sinners. And that's not right either. Self-righteousness will say, oh, I deserve acceptance. But the one that's presumptuous in his sin says, I deserve mercy. And you start thinking that for some reason God is gonna automatically forgive or give mercy to everybody. And that's a mistake too. You see, whenever you talk to somebody that's living this way or thinking this way, they take advantage, or they somehow think that God owes mercy to whoever. God owes mercy. And when you're in that kind of a sin and you're living presumptuously in sin, you think that God owes you mercy. But God doesn't owe you mercy.
Amen.
In fact, God, mercy can't be owed. Mercy, it's not something that by definition, it's not something that is owed to you. Mercy is something that can be given to you. If God owes it to you, it's not mercy anymore. Mercy is basically asking God not to give you what you deserve. Not to judge you as you deserve to be judged. And that can't be something that you just expect that God has to do for everybody. When you come humbly before God, you're throwing yourself into His arms. You're not demanding that He do something for you. So humility doesn't demand mercy. It's simply pleading for it. And that's important to realize. So the right approach is what we see here in this second man. The right approach to come before God is, as he asks it, he says, God, it says that he couldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. He didn't come in. Now this is interesting, right? The man that came in that was self-righteous, the man that came in that was trusting in himself, he came into the temple and he was looking around. He was looking at everybody else. He came into the temple looking at that sinner over there, that publican over there. He even says, I'm not like this publican. He's looking around. But the sinner that comes before God in the correct manner, he's not looking around at other people. He's not looking at comparison. He's looking inward at himself and he's realizing, I'm a sinner. He realizes he's looking at himself and himself before God, and he's got the right idea. He can't even lift up his eyes to heaven. He has to humble himself. He has to bow his head because he's not worthy to be before God. And it says he smote his chest. He smote his breast. He's recognizing how impactful his sin has been on his life and how much of an impact it has on God. And he's recognizing that. And he recognizes it and he confesses what he is. He actually confesses. He says, be merciful to me, a sinner. A confession of him as a sinner. No comparison, not thinking, oh, well, there's others worse than me. I'm not that bad. I'm not the worst for sure. He wasn't defending himself. He wasn't trying to defend himself. Man, we try to defend ourselves. We try to excuse our sin. We try to say, well, but I've done other good things. I've helped other people too. I haven't just done bad things. I've done good things too. But that doesn't work. It doesn't get rid of your sin. You can't excuse your sin because you've done other things. There is no defense. And there was no entitlement in his speech. He wasn't saying, God owes me. God owes me another chance. God owes me. No, he's humbly asking, God be merciful to me. God be merciful to me, a sinner. I don't deserve anything. I'm just hoping that you'll be merciful to me. When you come before God, you shouldn't minimize your guilt. You shouldn't minimize your guilt. You shouldn't pretend like it's not that bad. What you should do is you should magnify your need for mercy. You should blow that up and say, wow, Lord, I want to focus in on how I need you to be merciful to me. Because I cannot live if you give me what I deserve. And so his question, his petition, what he says, look at this request. It's very simple. He says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Amen. And I just want to go behind the curtain, you could say, of what he's asking for and what that looks like. He says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's a pretty simple request, isn't it?
Amen.
You know, be careful thinking that you have to have precise words and like a kind of a formula of a prayer that you have to pray. And if you don't pray it this way, you're not saying the right words. Don't worry about that. Listen, it's not about the exact words that you pray to God when you come before Him. It could be a simple prayer like this one. God, have mercy upon me. But the heart matters. And that's what God is looking at. And we'll talk about that a little later. But it was a very simple request. It was a very simple prayer. God be merciful to me. But do you know what he's asking? He's asking for mercy. How can God answer this prayer? Look, he just confessed that he's a guilty sinner, right? He just confessed, I'm a sinner. And now he's asking for the just God, the just judge, to have mercy on the sinner. Let me read you a few things. Exodus chapter 34, verse 7 says that God will by no means clear the guilty. God, who is just, can by no means just clear the guilty. If you're guilty, you cannot go free if there's a just judge, right? It can't happen. The Bible talks about God being merciful, and He is merciful, and you should recognize God's mercy. If you have another day of life in your life, it's because God's mercy. And God can be merciful. God can postpone judgment for a while, and He's showing His mercy. But, like it says in Nahum chapter 1 verse 3 says that the Lord will not at all acquit the wicked. He will not acquit the wicked. That means God cannot simply declare a guilty person innocent. Or He can't pretend that the sin never happened. God can't just close His eyes and let you pass by. He can't just say, well, I just all pretend I didn't see your sin and you can go right in. He can't do that. He's a just judge. And what would we expect from a just judge? A just judge would condemn sin when it's guilty. A just judge has to pass judgment correctly. If we had a judge here in our courts in San Antonio that got a stroke, a streak of mercy where he just wanted to forgive everybody. You know, we would all probably be like, that's not right. Especially the victims of the crimes, right? I mean, if a judge was just forgiving, and think about maybe an egregious sin, something that makes you squirm. Maybe pedophilia. That probably makes a lot of us squirm. I mean, there's people that are actually convicted of raping and doing horrible crimes. If the judge started just making light of those things and saying, "Oh, you're forgiven. Oh, I want to give you mercy. I want to just forgive all these people that are doing all these things and coming through the court," we would demand that judge be gone or kicked off, because he's not satisfying the law. He's not satisfying justice. And the victims of those crimes would be saying, "Give us justice." Amen. Now, when we talk about God, you know how that feeling about, you know, making you feel uncomfortable when we talk about certain sins and squirmish about those sins? That's how God feels about your sin. The way you feel about some of those other sins that we mentioned, that's how God feels about your sin. It makes Him squirm. It makes Him, He doesn't like it. It doesn't feel good. And so how can this just judge look at you, who just admitted you're a guilty sinner, and say, "I'll have mercy upon him"? Now, he might delay the judgment for a while, but sooner or later that judgment is going to come. And what is the verdict going to be? What's going to happen? A just judge can't just ignore your sin. And so when somebody's asking that God would have mercy upon them, oh, there's a dilemma. How can this be accomplished? And that's where we have, because mercy can't come at the expense of justice. You can't do it. Mercy is basically asking that you don't receive the judgment that you deserve. And so the judgment can't be ignored. And this is where Christ comes in, because judgment isn't ignored. Christ actually paid the penalty of the judgment that you require. And so Christ can take upon himself the penalty for that judgment, so that then God can actually go through and have mercy upon you. Oh, it's a simple prayer. It's a simple request. You're thinking, "I'm just asking for mercy." But behind the curtain is a whole plan of God that he had to come up with for him to manifest himself in the flesh, become a human being like us, live a perfect, sinless life, and then give that life for us, so that the just could be the justifier of those that believe in him. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. You see how this simple prayer, this simple request for God to have mercy, was an incredible, complicated thing that Christ had to die in order to accomplish. But he did accomplish it. God can forgive you of your sin, because Jesus satisfied the penalty that your sin requires. So the Pharisee says, "Oh, I don't need mercy. I'm good. I'm a good man. Look at all the things that I've done." And the truth is, when you think about your spiritual condition before God, if you're considering your works in there, if you're thinking about your works, you think, "What is my condition before God?" And you're thinking, "Well, I do some pretty good things here. I go there. I work here." Then you're off. You're wrong. That's not what your spiritual condition before God, how it's going to be represented. It's not through your works. It's not through the things that you do. It has to be satisfied through the blood that Jesus Christ gave on the cross. And if you are presumptuous and you think, "Well, of course God is going to have mercy on me," you're ignoring the seriousness of your sin. Christ had to die in order to save you from your sin. You shouldn't take it so lightly. You have to plead for the mercy of God, not demand that he give you mercy. And this is what God is doing. He's looking at your heart. That's why in verse 14 he says, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other." Now isn't that interesting? The man that came before God thinking he was righteous ended up not being justified. But the man that came before God being a guilty sinner left justified. That's what happens with Jesus Christ. Now, what does he say? He says, "For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." It wasn't about how many good works this one had done versus how many good works this one had done. It wasn't about how big of a sin he had committed versus how big of a sin he had committed. It wasn't about that at all. It was about him humbling himself before God and recognizing his sin and asking God to have mercy upon him. And if you come to Jesus Christ trusting in the sacrifice that he did for you, that's how you can find mercy before God. You can't come to God. You can't have a good standing and spiritual condition before God because of your righteous works. No, all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags when it comes to before God. You might be able to show off here before us, but when you come up to God, He recognizes everything that you have, and it's all tainted with sin. And it's not appealing at all. You come to God before Him, you come with a contrite heart. You come with a broken spirit. Like David said, he says, "It's not sacrifice that you desire from me." There's nothing David could have done to get his sin forgiven because of his works. And he recognized it. He says, "Oh, all I can do is come before God humbly and ask Him for forgiveness." And through Jesus Christ, that's available for you. You can have forgiveness of sins because of Jesus Christ. That's the message. That's what Jesus shows. He says, "He that exalteth himself shall be abased." If you walk around thinking you're right with God because of your good works, because of how much you do, one day God is going to show you what reality is. He's going to say, you were never up here. You're going to be abased. You're down here. But if you come to God and abase yourself, you come to God and humble yourself, and you come to God asking Him, "Lord, I know I'm a sinner." You recognize your sin and you ask Him for forgiveness. Jesus Christ can take you and give you His righteousness so that you can be saved. You can be exalted. That's salvation. And that's what we need. Be careful. Don't mistake your condition before God. Don't think you're right before God because of your works. Don't justify yourself. Don't think that you have righteousness of yourself. Recognize that the righteousness that you can have with God comes through Jesus Christ. That is the only way of salvation. And that's why Jesus spoke this parable. He spoke it to those that trusted in themselves, that they were righteous, to such a degree that they despised others. And yet, in the end, they didn't even go home justified because they were trusting in themselves. But the sinner that recognizes sin and humbled himself received justification because Jesus Christ has paid the debt for us to be saved. And that's the message we have for you this morning. If you're not saved here today, if you've been trusting in your works, if you've been trusting in all the things that you've done, if you're somehow trying to justify yourselves, you need to give that up and you need to come to Jesus Christ and you need to humble yourself and God will have mercy upon you. And if you have any questions about that, you need to talk to somebody. Talk to us about how to get saved. And we would love to show you through the scriptures the promises that God has for you if you would come to Him. So with that, let's go ahead and end with a hymn. We can stand and turn in the supplement to number 65. Number 65 in the supplement. Consider that the only thing you have to get right with God is Jesus Christ. He is your only plea. Should I at the gates of heaven appear to answer the challenge? What claim hast thou here? What hast thou to offer? Yea, what is thy plea? With blessed assurance, my answer would be, all that I have is Jesus, all that I claim. 7 o'clock to remember the Lord during the Lord's Supper. If you want to be here, may God bless you. Have a good day.